Hello and welcome to The Real Podcast. My name is Earl Buchan, and I'm pastor of Calvary Chapel Winnipeg, up here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Today, I want to talk about fear. A few versions of fear. A few flavors, if you will, but fear nonetheless. I want to start with the fear of failure. See, when I read the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, I can't help but notice a fear of failure resting in the heart of the one servant who did nothing. Yeah, there is a fear of punishment. There's a fear of what his master might do if he had found out a talent had been buried. Nothing had been done to increase the master's investment. There is so much to be pulled from this parable. I don't want to explore every angle at this point. The one I want to look at, though, just for consideration for this moment, is a fear of failure. The fear of failure can be crippling. It can be a condition that will keep you from doing all that you're called to do. And think about it, if money were no object, if you had all the time in the world, what would you do with the ministry the Lord is calling you to? Don't think about parents or family or income or anything else, but the dream that comes to mind. Would it be to open a series of community houses? Would it be to establish an orphanage in Africa? Would it be to spend your days sitting on the streets witnessing to addicts and the homeless, street people and gang members within your own city? What is it that's in your heart that you cannot admit to yourself because it is so huge? If failure were to never happen in your adventure, what would you be brave enough to attempt? The fear of failure will keep you from ever realizing your passion. It will chain you to the ground when you are meant to fly. Perhaps it was foolish for Mary to pour out her wealth in oil upon Jesus' feet in John 12, or maybe it was the wisest thing to do. We all should take note of her love. Mary could care less about who's watching or any social norm she was breaking by letting down her hair. There was no second thought to count the cost. Mary loved upon Jesus, and we can learn a lot from her. She wouldn't have held on to a single talent. No one is going to fulfill this calling for you. The Lord tapped you to step into it with both feet. If you choose not to obey him, he will find someone else, I'm sure, but he chose you. He is also infinitely patient. You were put on this earth during this season, this time and date, this age of the world for a specific purpose. If you feel your task and mission is too big, then you are in good company. I'm quite certain everyone in the Bible felt the same way. Don't let fear, haters, or dream-killing personalities keep you from what the Lord has called you to do. Death is the absolute worst thing that could happen to you. And if that were to be your end, you'd wind up in the Lord's arms, where he will say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That doesn't sound so bad to me. Dare to risk failure. You might be starting a revolution that changes everything. And that leads us to the idea of the fear of success. I remember starting a youth group when I was serving in a church for a time. I wanted to do something different than I had experienced out there with other groups. They were acting almost as a cocoon of legalism. They sheltered church kids in sterile environments where children's ministry videos were shown to kids in their late teen years. There was something messed up about that whole experience. I couldn't put my finger on exactly what it was, but they were missing something important. What was needed was a change in the metrics of success. I thought, you know, if we have a smoke break, then we're heading in the right direction. Because I wanted kids to come to our youth group that were not Christian, but willing to come try church out anyway. And before too long, the group grew to an average of 60 kids on a Friday night. That was a very large group for the small town where this all took place. We had LAN parties going, local area network gaming going, where you had bring your own computer or laptop. We'd play the same games together. Good, clean fun, always a game they'd recognize from their world, not Bible trivia software. And in another room, we had Friday night movie night. We'd show everything from Lord of the Rings to The Ultimate Gift. There'd be other places to sit and talk, and I'd always make up a huge mess of spaghetti or hot dogs. I learned how to cook for the masses very quickly. We had parents we had never met bringing us pop and pizza. They thanked us for having their kids occupied with something healthy on a Friday night. My friend who started this whole thing with me was 16 at the time, and I'll never forget one packed Friday night and how he came up to me with a big smile and asked, "What have we done?" It wasn't all about gathering for fun. I would always take time to share the gospel and why I was doing this with each room, each group, and individuals. I'd spend time outside with the smokers, asking about their lives and how I could be praying for them. Kids came to Jesus. It was good. It was better than good. And I was afraid of the success. Within a few months, I shut it all down because I was too busy being convinced that God needed my help and how I pursued the calling that He had placed in my life. I left the town, dragged my wife and kids to a far-off place, and to this day, it is one of my greatest mistakes in ministry and life. I often wonder what would have been if I wasn't afraid of failure. What if I had raised up more leaders to take it over from me? Or if I had stayed and walked out what the Lord had placed in my hands? A fear of failure is one thing, but a fear of success can affect many lives. My fear of success affected my entire family in ways that I'm still dealing with to this day. If we rush ahead without waiting on the Lord, we will experience fear. If we expect the weight of all to be on our shoulders instead of the courage brought by the Holy Spirit, it can only bring frustration and maybe even pain. And that leads to the fear of missing out. I'd like to call this the fear of our ego missing out, really. I mean, we can get lost in each other's dreams so much that we'll forsake our own. We can be glued to social media and see the fake success of people trying to get a few more likes. So we start getting busy. We start jumping into network partnerships and networking as much as possible, not knowing who we are. We take a ride with others who do, and we hope that we're going to look awesome in the process. We worry about missing out on success, or we resent the success that others are having. You know, during this whole pandemic, I had a great difficulty with watching all that I was called to do take a deep breath and a pause. We were told not to meet with one another. I saw many ministries die and church doors close forever in my neighborhoods. It broke my heart to see the deep division that happened in the worldwide church, a division that we have not yet healed from, if we are ever going to heal from it at all. Our fear of missing out can cause us to get into the comparison game. We miss out on what the Lord has for us as we jealously watch other ministries than our own. During the past couple of years, I felt that things were grinding by and we were in survival mode. And one day the Lord told me to befriend a guy in our church, and I started spending time with him during the week. Our conversations would take place over lunch. We take turns with who decides what type of food we're having. We began praying for one another and working through a Bible study. Now I find myself with one of the best male friends I've had in a very long time. When I took a breath and submitted the despair that comes with the fear of missing out, the Lord showed me something amazing through friendship. I found myself grateful for the past couple of years because there's been life in places I least expected. I would have been missing out if I were angry about lockdowns and restrictions. You may be hearing this and worried that you're missing out on all that the Lord has for you. You feel as though your plans have been hijacked or sidelined for whatever reasons. Look around you. See who you can mentor and love them. It always pains me when I hear someone say they're called to share the gospel, but they feel stuck. Are you a parent? Do you have family? Do you have friends? Start right there. Work your way outward. Are you wanting to do outreach, but your church doesn't have much going on? Draw a circle around where you live. Make it as big or as small as you like and start working that area. You might find there are opportunities you're missing because you have a fear of missing out on something else. And there's also the fear of not being good enough. Winters where I live, they're a little extreme. You can expect things to start getting snowy around Halloween, and if it's a good year, the snow will be gone by April. 2 years ago, during a Christmas season, when the temperature was at about minus 23 Celsius, that's minus 9 Fahrenheit for my friends in the United States, I was called out one night to pray for healing over one of the kids in our church. The family is amazing. I really like these people, and her father happens to be our worship pastor and a friend of mine. I put on several layers of clothing and prepared for the 30-minute drive to where they live. I had forgotten about the oil. This was one of the specific requests, and I know why. They didn't have any oil. I'm not too sure why. And I mean, do we have healing oil kicking around? I hate to break it to you, but that little vial you bought from the Christian supply store, it's probably just vegetable oil with lavender. I don't mean to be cynical or anything like that, but we can over-spiritualize the simple if we're not careful. The Word tells us that when we're sick, to gather the elders and pray, and that's what I was asked to do. I took some olive oil from our kitchen, but was unable to find a suitable container, and all I could find are these small little plastic cups about the size of your typical communion cup. I poured a little in and prayed over the cup a blessing and following up with asking for forgiveness if I was making a mess out of this whole beautiful process. I drove down as quickly as I could and found parking not too far away. The wind had kicked up and the things with the temperature were just dropping and dropping in the, with the wind chill. I had been carrying that little cup close to me so as not to spill it everywhere. And getting out of the car, I put it on the roof only for a moment, and I began to realize that was a terrible idea. It started to move along the roof and would have been blown off. I grabbed it, but the oil was leaking through my fingers. I tried my best to put it back in the cup. I didn't want to disappoint this lovely family. I got in their door and was greeted warmly. I knew it would be a miracle in more ways than one if this kid were healed. I anointed her forehead with oil and I prayed. I don't remember what I said, but I remember my heart was sincere toward this whole thing. And afterwards, she seemed her happy self, and I sat and had coffee with her parents before heading home, laughing a little at the whole process. I heard that evening that the girl's symptoms were gone and that she was back to health. I could not believe it at first, but then some things dawned on me. The oil didn't matter. So much so that why didn't I use oil that they had in their own house? I'm sure they must have had olive oil or vegetable oil or something. Why did I go through all of this theater? I didn't mean anything wrong by it, but I found myself laughing at my own expense. And I didn't heal her. It's up to the Lord to heal whomever he wants for his own good purposes. We're not magicians. We're faithful servants, asking that he show favor upon the person that we are praying over. Anointing with oil is great, but the Lord doesn't need a prop to see his will done. Our faithfulness to serve others and going about God's stuff is more important than our ego or whether we measure up. That night, I felt like a total fraud. I still look back on that and laugh at myself. I had tried to play the part when the Lord had a few things in mind for that evening. The little girl was healed and much better. I had learned about the nature and character of God a little more. Never underestimate the value you bring to this world through obedience, even through our mistakes. The wrongful ideas that we have of ourselves, the Lord can still shine. You will never be good enough to do the work of the Lord, but you can be willing. You will never be trained enough, but you can be available. So we got to trust the gear. I used to like free climbing. And being from the West Coast originally, there is plenty of world-class climbing to be found for the beginner all the way to the seasoned veteran. Some of the most scenic spots can be found while climbing. It's a physically and mentally challenging sport. And when I was starting out, I was working for a large outdoor retailer in my city. I found a good friend at work who is a very good climber. I mean, this guy made it look effortless. We went out with a few people to an area that was gentle on beginners without sacrificing a little challenge. This place had a beautiful beginner's climb right on the ocean overlooking the west side of the city and the Pacific Ocean. The climb had only one way to access the start. You'd have to rappel off the edge of the cliff and zip down to the bottom. You'd have to do this before you could work your way up as a part of the climb. The person belaying you would be at the bottom by the ocean, making sure you were caught if you fell. Seems simple enough, but did I mention that you had to fling yourself over the edge of the cliff to lower yourself down on the rope? One by one, I saw people do this until I was the last one. A part of me was standing there, and I was thinking, taking a running jump off the cliff and plunging into the water several meters below, it would be easier if I had done that. But I needed to learn this lesson. I had a harness. I was roped in. I knew no harm would come to me. And yet I thought about doing my own thing. My friend looked up to me from below and yelled, "You gotta trust the gear. Do it." That phrase, "you gotta trust the gear," has haunted me ever since. It applies to so many things in life where I have hesitated or had a moment of fear. We have the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself is praying for us right now from heaven. He will come and set his rule and reign one day. We must trust him. Even if we're feeling afraid and gripped by world events and difficulties, even if the world continues to get more and more difficult and our churches need to go underground, we have to trust the gear. The Lord knows what he's doing. He has a plan. He wins. We can read the ending. We know what's going to happen. So know the story. Because we can get trapped inside our own heads at times, unable to do what we're supposed to do. The fears I've mentioned here already, they're all natural. But there is a way we can be set free. We need to know the story of God from the beginning to the end. The Bible is the living word. The end times have not yet happened, even though they feel closer day by day. Do whatever you need to do to familiarize yourself with the Bible, front to back, inside and out. Meditate on it day and night. My suggestion is to take a trip to Israel if you can. It will change you on a very fundamental level. I was told our two-week trip would be like attending a year of Bible college. I can understand how that opinion is pretty solid. To read the words of Jesus in places he stood and spoke them. To see where people had been healed as you read them from the Bible. To stand upon the walls of Masada and live in history for that moment. You will never look at the word quite the same way. You will grow to have a realization that it is truer than you ever imagined. You'll see that you are a part of God's history, right here and right now. Read through, teach it if you're able, the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a blessing for the teacher and the hearer. I mean, what a promise! The amount of grace God has time and time again is amazing. His power and majesty unfold in a way that leaves you speechless when you read it. It's a beautiful revelation of Jesus Christ. And even though there is darkness in those last days, in these last days, it has been said that Revelation is the most Old Testament book of the New Testament. It's true, and that's because it finishes what was started in the very beginning in Genesis. We have all we need within the Word of God. Meditate on it. Let your heart delight in God day and night. You are not alone. Being real and your genuine self, you'll find many people with like minds and kindred spirits. Make sure you trust the gear and do not let fear overtake your life. Thank you for listening. If you want to reach out, you can contact me through rewildthechurch.com.